Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of Paddock Pass, the podcast where we talk all things motorsport. I'm your host, Evie Spencer, an aspiring motorsport journalist from the UK, and you can follow me on TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Evie Spencer Motorsport. Make sure to follow my socials and this podcast for lots of motorsport content. Hope you enjoy! So today I'm here with Chris. Chris, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, well, thanks for having me on. First of all, I'm Chris. I'm a commentator and presenter in motorsport. And this year I'm covering the FIA Formula 3 Championship or Super Cup, along with a few other things, but that's probably mostly where you're going to hear me.
So when and how did you find motorsport?
Oh, a long time ago. I was probably about 12 years old when I first found it properly. I used to be into football when I was a kid. That was what I wanted to be growing up. But a friend of mine had a go-kart and he took me to have a go in it at Rye House, which is, you know, a track quite famous for, you know, because Lewis Hamilton started there. But I only actually had one lap in it because it was not safe enough for me to be going around in it. But I loved it so much, like even just that one lap in it, I loved it so much. I couldn't tell you what go-kart I was in. And from there, I went to I asked my dad, could we keep doing this? And my dad took me to a electric go-karting track in London, in Bow, which is still exists today, called Revolution Karting. And we used to go there every Sunday. I was probably only about 12 years old at that time. And that is where I discovered my love of motorsport. I still remember my first session today. Going out, it was in the wet. Obviously, you're on slick tires when you're in those corporate carts, and yeah, it was just amazing. I loved being in going from a team sport to a sport where you're in control of your own devices. I really loved that, and the speed of it. You know, I felt like I was going 100 miles an hour, even though we were probably only going about 20. But yeah, I fell in love with the sport straight away. And that was it. I was hooked from there. And that's where the journey started for me, probably in about 2006 or 2007.
I love that. So can you tell the listeners about your job and what it involves? Because obviously there's probably a lot of different things that you do, but...
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, so I do commentating and presenting, mostly commentating. I was doing presenting. It was the last thing I did, but mostly I'm a motorsport commentator. So talking about the racing for the viewers, which is really good fun. I've got to say it's a job I never thought I'd find myself doing, if I'm being completely honest, but I absolutely love it. It's so essentially we will, you know, it's a job that comes with a lot of preparation. I think anytime you go into covering a race, you have to be well prepared, you know a lot about the cars you're going to be talking about, first of all. You know, so for this year, you know, doing Formula 3, it's knowing about those cars. I'm also going to be covering the 24-hour Le Mans this year. So that's another one where you have to know a lot about all the different cars. And then the drivers that are going to be in those cars and the stories behind those drivers. And then it's when the races go live. It's following the race and telling the stories behind the race. It's not just, you know, talking about the overtakes as they happen. It's telling the stories behind each race and trying to pick up on what's going on screen and telling the story for the viewer, essentially. So I really enjoy it. It's really good fun, especially when you have someone alongside you. I'm lucky to work with Alex Brundle quite a lot, and he is absolutely fantastic. You know, I had a great crew with me at the weekend doing GB3, and Piers Pryor and Lewis McGlade, two really good people as well. But yeah, in F3, which people watch, I get to work with people like Alex Brundle, Alice Powell, Billy Munger, Jordan King, and they're really great to work with. So yeah, when you have a team like that, it's fantastic. But you also work with the people behind the scenes, the directors, the producers, and try and find the stories of the races.
Yeah. Is it chaotic? Because I feel like as a commentator, it's probably like, it's not expected. You can't have a set of questions or anything, can you?
No, that's it. You never know what's going to happen, right? When you go into a live race and the lights go green, you don't know what's going to happen in that race. And we've had some incredibly chaotic races, particularly in Formula 3 this year. I think the sprint race in Australia and the sprint race in Bahrain are two of the most chaotic races I've I've been lucky enough to cover. So you don't know what's going to happen. So you just got to be as prepared enough as you can, really, and know who's in what car and let the race take you as it goes, I guess, and enjoy it. I think that's the main thing you do. You're watching the race as much as everyone else is. So yeah, that's one thing I really, really do is as long as you're enjoying the race, everyone else watching it with you will enjoy that. And that's a thing that, you know, a kind of the experience you want to give that you're watching the race next to the people watching on their sofa. So, but yeah, there is a lot going on, you know, in the commentary box. We have, you know, the feed coming through on the screen, the timing screens, but I come in with obviously a lot of notes and you're trying to listen to those. And then you've got, you know, feedback coming into your ear from directors and producers and things like that. So there is a lot going on, but that's what makes it all good fun.
Yeah, I definitely sounds like a job that was so cool and just very chaotic. I feel like is the only word that I could use to describe it. So how did you get into what you do now?
Yeah, it's quite a, I guess, quite a long story, really. I mean, I used to race myself. I raced for 5 years overall. I raced in karting, which was really good racing. You know, after I left doing the electric karting in Bow, I went to race at a club level and then a national level in the Rotax classes, and then the class called KGP, which is now known as the OK class. So I raced at that for 5 years. I was part of Motorsport UK's academy. Really enjoyed it. You know, that was my dream, was to be a Formula One driver, like many other people. But I suffered a epileptic seizure when I was at Wilton Mill in 2012. I wasn't on track. I was on the side of the track. And that was, you know, the end of my career. I was essentially told at that time that my race license would be taken away from me for 5 years. My driving license, which I just got hold of, was taken away from me for a year as well. So unfortunately, the car I was about to buy, I could no longer get. But I just started doing TV and film at college at that time. Realized I had access to, you know, to cameras and edit suites and things like that, and talented people in my class. And I came up with the idea that it would be quite cool to go back to Wilton Mill, where I suffered the seizure, and start filming some races there, because I was a two-time champion there, and I never got to watch any of those races back, which I won. So I put the idea to my college that, you know, would I be able to borrow some cameras and film the races and use it as part of my coursework? You know, we've been set a task to do a live production by the end of our first year. And then I sort of put the idea forward to Wilton Mill, and they loved it. And 3 months after I had my seizure, we were back as a crew, assembled a crew together. Four of us went up there, I think it was. And we went and filmed November 2012. We filmed that round, edited it all together. And and then we were asked to come back in 2013 and film the whole season for a very small fee. And that was, that was kind of how it started. After we did five rounds of that, my dad said, you know, you should commentate on this as well. And so I did. And that was how it started for me, really. It's kind of by accident, if you like. It was kind of through a college coursework that it started. It was all by accident, really. But I eventually, by the end of it all, I enjoyed the commentating more than the filming. You know, I did want to work in TV and film, but I decided actually the commentating was a bit more for me.
I like that. And I think that's like, so like, that is a story you'll never hear, like, ever. So that's a really cool story and I love it. So tell me about the things that you present and commentate and stuff now, and like how they differ. So there's obviously a lot of different things and series that you commentate. So tell me more about each of them.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so the main one I'd probably do is Formula 3, and I jumped on the first round of Formula 2. So they're quite, you know, they're the big series. I also do F1 Kids as well. So I'm doing seven rounds of Formula 1 this year. And yeah, a lot goes into doing F2 and F3, you know, a lot of preparation there, you know, drivers coming through the feeder series. But they're just, you know, they're sprint races, I guess. Same with Porsche Super Cup. They're sprint races. You know, it's a race to the flag, and they're quite intense races as well. They're drivers coming through the ranks. F1 Kids, completely different. We are commentating on the Formula One Grand Prix, but we're doing it for four kids. So we have to, you know, when I'm doing my notes for that, I'm not, you know, doing preparation as to how many, you know, what the tires are going to do through the race, because I don't think kids are too interested in that. It's more, I was finding out how many sharks were in the Red Sea and things like that, and finding out a bit about the theme park that's going to be in Jeddah. So, you know, from making the broadcast a bit more fun. 24 Hour of Le Mans, completely different. I'm back doing that again this year. And that is the people, I commentate on it for the PA system. I think the people around the circuit want to know the cars that they're listening to. And so for that, I try and get notes on, you know, the cars, what is going into them, what are they hearing? And then it's just a case of what is going on throughout the race. So that's definitely a completely different one to that. Formula Regional, again, they're all in the same car. For that, it's a single-seater championship. So for that, I focus on driver backgrounds, where these drivers come from, who are they? A lot of the time, people watching that may have never heard of these guys before. And yeah, and that's probably the main ones I'm covering this year. I'm lucky enough to present GB3 at the weekend, and I jump in and out of other stuff. But those are, I guess, the main ones I'm working on. I'm working on this season. Quite fortunate enough to say there's some pretty cool stuff in there.
There's some really cool stuff in there. And I think because there's such a range of them as well, and they're quite different as well, aren't they? That's not all the, as you were saying, they're not all the same. And I feel like if you were commentating on all of the same stuff, it could get repetitive. But obviously you've got so much going on that it's just always quite a nice job to do. So tell me what an average race weekend looks like for you as a presenter, a commentator. Oh my gosh, I keep saying presenter.
Yeah, no, I do a bit of both. I mean, it's, to be honest, if it's with, you know, with F1, we obviously do it all from the studio in London. And it's just, yeah, once you get to a race weekend, be it, you know, whether you're at the track or not, yeah, you may have done all the work, but the work is nowhere near done. You know, it's finding out the stories then that people can't find out that are watching. So I'm lucky enough to have a really good relationship with a lot of the drivers that I commentate on in F3, for example, in F2. And so I you got to take advantage of that. If you don't have a relationship with those drivers, then you've got to form them pretty quickly. So I try and do that in Porsche Supercup, for example. And it's just once a practice session is done, it's right, find out what on earth happened. Why was that driver quick? Why wasn't that driver not quick? How are the drivers feeling? Are they happy? Are they not happy? That's really what it is. It's, you know, do the first session and then go and find out the stories that people can't find out, that are sat at home and just there to enjoy it. So that's what it is. It's it doesn't, the work doesn't stop really throughout the weekend. And then you want those stories ready for qualifying. And then after qualifying, you want those stories for the race. And so you're kind of chasing the stories all the way through the weekend, to be honest. And when you get your, you know, when you've got your grid for the first race, you want to know if you're commentating on 30 drivers, they've all got their story on how their weekend's gone. If they're starting first or 30th, you know, the driver, for example, Sebastian Montoya was really sick going into the first round of the season in F3. He'd lost like 5 kilos throughout testing. But people might not have known that. But that was a story we could chase by just speaking to him. So, yeah, that's just one example of that. But I think as someone who's raced myself, albeit at quite a low level, we always had a story by the end of the weekend. You know, there was a reason we finished where we finished. So that's honestly what I enjoy doing the most is finding out why the drivers are where they're finishing and how they're feeling. And then bringing that onto the screen.
So what is the motorsport life like?
Great fun, very intense. I think that, you know, the best part is when you get to travel around and see the tracks, see the cars. There's nothing better than standing in a pit lane and seeing the cars fly by you. Free access into a race weekend is so much fun, particularly in something like Le Mans. I mean, that's a dream come true, I think. So it's something that you definitely take advantage of when you get the opportunity to go and be at these events. You take advantage of it and get into a good spot to watch the other events and go and see the cars up close and It's a lot, but it comes with a lot of traveling, 100%. But I enjoy that. I'm lucky enough, I guess, not to be in a position where I've got people at home that I need to look after. So I definitely take advantage of enjoying the traveling side of it, and yeah, seeing other parts of the world. I mean, a lot of the time you do just see the track in the hotel room, but if you can see other parts, then you definitely try and do that when you can. So yeah, getting to places like Tokyo and Vegas has been really cool. So yeah, I really enjoy it.
I think as well, because the travel's so like difficult to do as a spectator as well, isn't it? Because it's expensive and it's thing and it's all this stuff that you can go and do whilst doing your job. I bet that's so cool, like doing what you love. I just think that's so cool. What was the most exciting race to commentate on and why?
I'd say the Le Mans Centenary last year, which might surprise people. I mean, people might think that having commentated on an F1 race, I would think it would be the F1 race as well. But I think being asked to be, the circuit commentator for the 24-hour Le Mans Centenary was something I will be forever grateful for. We had 350,000 fans there. Ferrari won for the first time in like 50 years. And the whole event was just done really special. They did massive displays throughout the weekend. And yeah, they did it. It was my second time doing the event, and it was done a lot different to the last one for that reason. And the atmosphere was, everyone was so grateful to be there, whether you were there as as a volunteer marshal or a fan or just there working or a driver. Everyone there was really enjoying it. And I think this year and the next 2 3 years, it's going to be at that level now for a while. So I'd encourage everyone to go to Le Mans at this time in the next few years, because it's going to be very special. But yeah, that's something I've got my sort of pass and my shirt and stuff in a drawer, so plan to do something with that definitely. But yeah, I think the whole atmosphere of it was amazing. I think for the fact Ferrari won it when they came across the line at the end, it was amazing. And seeing all the crowd out on the start finish straight was really good.
I love that. I think Le Mans for me is definitely a dream to go and watch because it's just so iconic. So yeah, that sounds so cool. So I know you love all that you do now, but what is your dream sport? It doesn't have to be motorsport or series, motorsport series to present or commentate and why?
I mean, I'd love to get to the pinnacle, and do Formula One. I know I've done it on the F1 Kids broadcast, but to be a part of the main broadcast would be certainly a dream come true. But I'd also love to do something like the Olympics one day as well, be it the main Olympics or the Winter Olympics. I think the Olympics is such a special event. I used to get up at ridiculous hours as a kid to watch the Winter Olympics in particular, and just sit there for 2.5 weeks and watch all the events, and have cutouts from the newspaper and fill in the results and stuff like that. So for me, it's something I'm working very hard to try and be a part of one day. And yeah, to be a part of an event that only happens every 4 years, if I could commentate on anything on that, or be a presenter on anything from that, I'd be yeah that would be a huge goal that I'll be chasing, and until yeah I'll be forever chasing that, let's just say that. I think that's something that would be very special, definitely.
I think that's so cool as well. I've not had anyone say Olympics yet, so that's really cool. I love that. It's very special though, and it's a really cool event. And obviously, it's everything. So it's everything that you could want to do. So
Well,
I think that's really cool.
I've heard people that's been fortunate enough to go to it, and it's everyone that's there is so desperate to win it, right? They've worked 4 years to get there, and they're all chasing that gold medal, and they're representing their country as well. I think with racing, everyone's there representing themselves, representing their team. With the Olympics, they're representing their country, then they've got the whole country behind them. So I think if you could be the person that's bringing that to life on the screen somehow, that would be a huge privilege. So yeah, to get the chance to do that would be, and just see it as well. Apparently, the whole atmosphere when you're in the Olympic Village is amazing. So yeah, that would be something very unique. So I'm definitely gonna keep chasing that.
I'm sure you'll be able to do it. You've done everything so far. So what's another one to the list? So if you could give one piece of advice to someone wanting to commentate or present or do film and the media side of, what would that piece of advice be?
I mean, if they haven't done anything yet, like, you know, if there's someone that's, you know, deciding they just want to get started, then I'd say my first piece of advice would start by making your own opportunity. You know, like mine was filming my own race, and that's, you know, something, you know, I essentially filmed my own races and commentated on them. You know, that did not exist before. No one at the track actually asked for us to do that, but by the end, when we stopped it, everyone was a little bit disappointed. And now Wilton Mill, if you look, they have a live streaming company in Alpha Live that have filmed there for years. So yeah, I think there's no reason why anyone can't go to a kart track that doesn't have a commentator and just become their commentator. There's no reason why they can't do that, or commentate on an esports championship that doesn't have a commentator, or roll up F123 and just let the race roll on all AI and just commentate over the top and see how you feel, see how they feel. So I think opportunities to start, you should just try and make yourself, and from there, then try and reach out to as many people as you can and network, and don't just give up when the answer is no. It took me with one, you know, with some people, it's taken 5 years to get the first job, but it's all about, you know, it's not about just chasing people and asking for work. It's about building relationships, and that's the way to go about it. So yeah, the one person in particular, Tom Gaymore, he was the first person I reached out to. He took me into Eurosport just to have a look around, and eight years later, we commentated on Formula 2 together. So yeah, so sometimes it can take a little while, but yeah, I wouldn't give up on it after a year or two. Just, that's what I'd say.
And that's really good advice. And I think just because it's so easy to give up when,
yeah,
like, it gets difficult, because motorsport is difficult because there's so many people wanting to be in it and it's very specific. So I like that piece of advice. I think that's very good. So what is your biggest achievement so far? Obviously, you've had so much cool stuff that you've done, but give us the top couple at least.
Oh, I mean, I'd say getting in with Formula One is probably for me the biggest, and being asked to commentate on the Grand Prix, you know, as part of F1 Kids, when I got that call, it was a very special moment for me. And getting asked back to do that again this year for a full season, I think, yeah. The first one I did was the Singapore Grand Prix, which from last year, which we all remember was a pretty good race. So yeah, because someone didn't win, basically. It was a person in red. So that was a really special moment. I remember sort of being very nervous before the race, and then more nervous than the kids, actually. The kids are fantastic. You know, they're so professional. Yeah, so that's probably I put down as the biggest one for me. And then F2 and F3, really, you know, particularly, you know, getting signed up for F3. When I started all of this in 2014, 2015, I set the target, you know, I want to be the F3 commentator, F2 commentator. And it took, you know, it took 8 years, 9 years for that to happen full time. But when it happened this year full time with F3, it was a very proud moment for me. So yeah, it came after 9 years of very hard work. But that would be my second biggest achievement, I'd say, because it was when I started all this in 2015, I set that as my, in 2014, sorry, I set that as my target. And 10 years later, it happened.
That's so cool. And I think because it's been like a dream for so long, it was probably so satisfying to get that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, between then, it was, you know, just year by year targets of, you know, commentating on different karting events and stuff like that. I never had it as a, right, that's going to happen next year. It was, right, that's going to happen at some stage, but let's tick off some other things first. And then eventually it started to, somehow it started to become a bit of a possibility over the last couple of years, and then it happened. So yeah, it was incredibly satisfying, and still hasn't quite sunk in yet in some ways. But yeah, no, it was to do the first race in particular this season was really good.
So who are your motorsport heroes?
That's a good question. I mean, if I'm sticking to commentary in particular, then yeah, there's definitely a few. Ken Walker was one of them. He was the Murray Walker of karting commentary. He's probably someone that a lot of people have never heard of before, to be honest. He used to commentate on all the major kart events. And it was quite nice that he had the same last name as Murray Walker, because he was known as the Murray Walker of karting commentary. And I used to watch a lot of the major kart races just to listen to him, in all honesty. I thought he was fantastic. And I've taken a lot of inspiration from him when I started out. I didn't know that at the time when I was listening to him, but I definitely did when I started. Will Buxton was another. I used to love listening to him when I started doing GP2. Well, when I started watching GP2 in 2006, I thought he was fantastic. So, yeah, he was definitely another. And then Alex Jakes is definitely another for me. I mean, when he took over from Will, and how good he did in adapting to that role, he's someone I've listened to ever since. So yeah, to get the chance to be in the studio with him and work with him has definitely been a huge privilege for me.
Yeah, and I think the way that Will Buxton as well has now gone to do F1 presenting must be so cool, because like you've been where he was, so that's like a future dream like waiting to happen. I think that's so cool. Yeah. So if you could, this is my question that I ask to everyone, so cool. Go as wild as you can. Obviously you've probably had a lot of paddock passes everywhere in the world because you've done so much, but if you could get a paddock pass to any race in the world, not commentating, where would you go?
Oof, a paddock pass anywhere in the world. It's a really good question, actually. It would have to be an F1 event, definitely. I'm trying to think of an event that I haven't, that I would, because, yeah. That's a really good one, actually. Getting to the last race of the season for F1 would be really cool, definitely. I've heard the atmosphere over in the States is really good, like COTA would be a really good one to go to, I think. Circuit of the Americas.
COTA would be one that I want to go to 100%. That or Monaco for me.
Or Albert Park would be really good. I mean, they just have 440,000 people there. That would be really good. I'll mix it up slightly. I'll go away from F1. I'm going to do the Indy 500 just because I've commentated on some IndyCar stuff. And I think that would be absolutely an unbelievable experience. It's one of those that everyone turns up for. And yeah, I would love to go and see the cars up close. I got to do commentating a couple of races for them with Sky Sports, filling in for Tom. And I think that would be an unbelievable experience to see the cars up close with a paddock pass. Yeah, that would be amazing. So yeah, I'll throw something a little bit different out there and go for Indy 500.
Indy 500, if away from F1, Indy 500, and probably Le Mans for me as well, would be mine.
Cool.
So
yeah, Le Mans,
I'm 100% with you there, yeah. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Paddock Pass podcast with me, Evie Spencer. Make sure to follow this podcast for more episodes and head over to my socials for more motorsport content.